Hey, Bucks fans, hike it into Hooters for all the games this season. Our wings always win. World famous for 40 years, with 13 sauces and rubs to choose from. Or try our buffalo chicken dip. And for a limited time, the pepper jack onion ring burger. Wash them down with a Big Daddy mug of Bud, Bud Light, or Mick Ultra. Or sip on a Jolly Roger cocktail. A Bucks favorite, made with Absolut. During the games, every Tampa Bay area location will give away signed Bucks memorabilia. Hooters, the original wing joint since 1983. OriginalHooters.com for details. Drink responsibly.
This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. Remember those $6 drinks all day, every day. If you are in the greater Tampa Bay area, visit originalhooters.com for the location nearest you. It is championship week, season finales this week in both podcast leagues and in the foundation. For many of you, it's semifinal week. Before you extend to week 17, I rolled it back a week this year for reasons I've discussed multiple times based on what happened in week 17 last year in terms of some sit-outs and an unfortunate game cancellation that could not be made up. So I wanted to avoid all that just in case this year. For those of you going forward, we will be doing podcasts next week, acknowledging most of you are playing championship football in week 17. Hopefully you are still with me. Hopefully you are still alive and I am still answering all of your fantasy questions personally at right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com. Quick updates on my podcast leagues, and I appreciate all those who play in my podcast leagues and, of course, my personal league going on 9 years now, the foundation. An enormous week for Chris in the League of Champions. For the first time, I believe, this year, or he may have clicked first place. He's been in the top four, I think, most or all of the year. But an enormous week for Chris Martin, who has played in the leagues over the years. Chris had double digits out of 5 of 7 starters. And he took everybody behind the woodshed, lapped the field, and as a result of that, he suddenly is in first place going into the final week in the League of Champions, trying to become a champion himself. Never won one of our leagues before. His lead is essentially an extra point, or a first down. It's that little. It's actually less than 1 point in my scoring settings after 15 weeks of point accumulation with 7 players per week. This is what we are down to. And this is the second year in a row we've done this. And Captain Morgan's been right in the middle of it. He won last year by just under a field goal / under 3 points in a very close finish. So for those of you that say, well, playing total points, you're going to get to the end of the year and the winner will already be determined. Yeah, that can happen. This just in, not happening in my league since we went to total points format for the podcast leagues the last 2 years. So Chris jumps up to 1. Captain Morgan, who had to scratch Tyreek Hill at 11:30 a.m. on Sunday, so he can't play Tyreek, has to make a substitute there, is in 2nd, less than a point back. And then Kevin is still lurking about 33-plus points back, and not out of it is Matt Jones, the former Moneyball League champion, which I may bring back next year. If Matt can have the kind of week this week that Chris had last week, Matt can win it all. So a lot of action in the League of Champions. In the podcast league, general manager Sean Sullivan and Bill Curry for defending his money as a common contestant doesn't pay out the $1,000 to each winner if he wins his own league. He would pay the League of Champions. He doesn't play in that league. But he wouldn't pay the podcast league if he wins that one. And he's up 33, roughly, on Andrew DeWitt, who ironically had to also scratch Tyreek Hill, here we go, at 11:30 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday. So Andrew still sits in second in striking distance, needs a good week, needs help. And then Greg actually won the week, needed to win the week, but didn't gain a lot, but is still alive. Needs a huge week, week 16. Greg, Todd Wright, tour captain from our golf tournaments, has played in both the Foundation and the Podcast League, looking for his first title under the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast umbrella. So we have a total of seven really alive across the two podcast leagues, with Sean Sullivan and Chris Martin leading and just fractions of points between Chris and Morgan in the League of Champions. In the Foundation, where we play head-to-head, this past week was the semifinals. It was number one seed, and the curse of the Governor's Cup continues as Dave Wirth loses. Did not get enough on Monday night out of his stack of Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown. It went right down to the end, and even the late Seattle touchdown put the ball back in Jalen Hurts' hands to get the necessary points that Dave needed, whether it was Hurts or a combination of Hurts and A.J. Brown. It was a down game for Brown, even though it was a good, not great fantasy game for Hurts. The two picks also hurt. And you know what else hurt Dave Wirth? On Sunday night, his kicker was Brandon McManus. And for those of you that had that owned Brandon McManus and played him this past week or were against him head-to-head, you know exactly where I'm going with this. In the Sunday night game, Jaguars hosting Ravens, McManus essentially was in position to hit four field goals in that first half. He missed the first one, missed the second one. The third one didn't happen because Trevor Lawrence on a scramble simply dropped the ball, and it was a lost fumble in field goal range. And then the fourth one didn't happen because the Jaguars ran out of time trying to score a touchdown and didn't have any timeouts. So there were up to 12 points. I mean, considering where the ball was in all these situations, that was 12 lost points in my scoring settings on four field goals for Brandon McManus owners. And the Jags could have certainly used those points in real life, acknowledged in the halftime interview on NBC, was the first thing brought up by Doug Peterson. We need to make some kicks. So missed field goal, Lawrence fumble, cost field goal attempt, inability to stop the clock and not kick a field goal, end the first half, total of 12 points there. And an imperfect storm for Dave Wirth as the Governor's Cup champion loses in the playoffs yet again. So Joey advances on the strength of, in part, a huge game from a running back. And that was a big theme of, I think, winners in Week 15. We're going to talk about that. So Joey, who is the a former Foundation champion, he's won a Jimmy McGinty. He is a game away from winning another. He has lost a title game. He has won a title game. And his opponent this week will be me, as I am back in the title game of the Foundation for the fourth time. In the 9 years of the Foundation, I've never won the McGinty. And I am in position, once again, to play for a Foundation championship after a victory, somewhat comfortable victory, against Doc, two-time league champion, as I got into triple digits. It was very odd. I don't think I ever remember this happening. Since we had, you know, we had the three games on Saturday, and I had Did I have someone? Yeah, I did. I had Amon Ra. I chose not to play Gibbs. We'll get to the running backs. But I had Amon Ra, and I think that was it on Saturday. Sunday at 1 o'clock of my starting lineup, I had nobody playing at 1 o'clock on Sunday in a playoff semifinal. Now, I know we spread these over multiple windows. This week's the same thing. We have a Thursday night game. I think we have a Saturday night game. Yeah, we do. We have... do we have a Saturday night game this week? I thought we did have a game on the 23rd. Not important. Bunch of Sunday games, then three games on Christmas. Most fantasy championships are not going to be decided until Christmas night because McCaffrey's playing in the last game. And I would imagine that most people with McCaffrey, if they did anything else in their draft or waivers or trades, they're playing. Now, granted, this week is our championship. For most, it's a semifinal, but we're going to go right down to the last game on Christmas night, determining who ultimately moves forward in most of your fantasy leagues and who wins my leagues. Because everybody that I'm talking about here that's still alive in my leagues, McCaffrey is in play. They selected McCaffrey. That whole, do you take McCaffrey number one or do you take a wide receiver? Those who took McCaffrey or had McCaffrey fall to them, and some passed on McCaffrey at 2 and 3, but still alive in our leagues. And I, of course, took him number one overall. We'll get to all that. So I'm fortunate to be in the final against Joey. The seeding goes 2 versus 5 in our foundation league for the Jimmy McGinty Trophy. All right, the biggest performers from last week, I'm just going to run them down according to my 21st century standard modernized scoring settings. Listen for all the running backs. These are overall points scored. In order, 1 through 25, McCaffrey, James Cook, Goff, Mayfield, Aiden O'Connell, Brock Purdy, Sam Laporta, Jordan Addison, Jahmyr Gibbs, Ty Chandler, Jalen Hurts, Jalen Waddle, Terry McLaurin, welcome to Fantasy Football 2023, you're a little late, Rashad White, Kyren Williams, Gardner Minshew, Derek Carr, T. Higgins makes an appearance, and with Chase out going forward, that's interesting, Debo, Trey Tucker, available in 100% of the Yahoo leagues, by the way. One of the top scoring players in Week 15, goes into week 16 waivers available in 100% of Yahoo leagues. Lamar Jackson, Joshua Palmer, available in 71% of Yahoo leagues. Amon-Ra, Kenneth Walker, welcome back, and Cooper Kupp. So let's just go specifically on running backs as we do a week 15 recap. There's McCaffrey. And what's interesting about me playing Joey in the foundation final this week is because so much of what happened this year in that league was dictated by what Joey and I did. So the way we determine draft order, by the way, I have them draw blind playing cards, but there's a twist. For those of you who say, oh yeah, there's nothing to that. Oh, there is in my league. Just because you draw the ace doesn't mean you pick first. If you draw the ace, you can pick any slot you want in our snake draft. So, I drew the 10-team league. All my leagues were 10-team leagues this year. I love 10-team leagues. I drew the 10. Nobody else pulled it out of my hand blindly. It was the last card. Every single other owner in the foundation passed on picking first. That included Joey, who I forget what card he had, but Joey chose the second slot. I think Joey chose that like right before he knew I was going to have the last slot. It might have been right at the end. Joey may have chosen the second slot as the ninth person to choose And then I got whatever was left. So I don't remember if it went down quite like that, but I think it was close. So every other owner in the foundation passes on picking number one. Big mistake. As Julia Roberts would say in Pretty Woman, big mistake. Big. Huge. Joey told me later he passed on picking first because he was sure, or he thought, that the first pick, and I forget at that point, at the time, and then I had it, he's like, it's going to be Jefferson going number one. And then he thought by having the second pick, he could get McCaffrey. And that exploded on him when I picked McCaffrey number one. I even went around the room at PDQ where we did the where we do the foundation draft. And I said, okay, everybody predict who I'm picking number one. Not a single person predicted I would take McCaffrey number one. Not a single owner. And of course, I did take McCaffrey number one, and he is the main reason why I am in the championship game. Ironically enough, against Joey, who thought he could get him at number two. Now, when we snake back, Joey took Josh Allen with his second round pick, who I coveted to get with my pick in the second round. And there were a couple of other players I really liked. Kelsey, I remember, was one of them, and I'm trying to remember who the other one was that I would have picked, and they all were gone, boom, 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 and I was sort of left with, well, what do I do? So I did take Amon Ra, who I was planning to select somewhere in there anyway, and that's worked out very nicely. But then I was like, Hurts was off the board, Mahomes was off the board, and now Josh Allen was off the board, and I went ahead and I took Burrow because the numbers from last year said to do it, and obviously due to injuries, that didn't work out for me this year. Burrow really only gave me a few good games because of time missed, and I've had to do other things at that position. So I got the running back Joey coveted, Joey got the quarterback that I coveted, and here we are in the final with both of those guys going head-to-head. Joey had James Cook, and I'm going to just point this out as a Cowboy fan, a huge loss for the Cowboys, injury-wise, is Hankins on the interior of the defensive line, and he was injured. We knew he was injured coming into the Buffalo game. He wasn't going to play. And that was going to force the hand of Dan Quinn to play number one draft pick, Mozzie Smith, or as I called him the minute Dallas drafted this guy, Taco Charlton 2.0. And I'm still angry at the Taco Charlton bust because Dallas chose Taco Charlton instead of TJ Watt, who just goes out every year and racks up sacks and pressures and does the job on defense for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Dallas took Taco Charlton from Michigan instead of TJ Watt. And then Dallas is sitting there late in the first round of the draft, and they select another Michigan defensive lineman. I'm not saying all Michigan defensive linemen these days stink in the NFL. I would have taken Aiden Hutchinson, of course, and I love Aiden Hutchinson. But for Dallas to go that route, it felt like Taco Charlton 2.0. It has been. Going into the Hankins injury, Mozzie Smith, according to PFF, the lowest graded defensive tackle in the league. And that grade had to go down even more, despite Dan Quinn defending him after the fact. As James Cook was running all over the Cowboys, Mozzie Smith was nowhere to be found. Not getting in his way at all. Not putting a hand on him. at one point I checked the stats, I think third quarter, and Mazi had an assisted tackle. Was just no factor. And it was smart for the Bills to attack the Cowboys that way without Hankins in the middle as Mazi Smith, Taco Charlton 2.0, was forced to play. So, James Cook was RB2. Jahmyr Gibbs was RB3. Ty Chandler, Joey Smart to start him, by the way, available in 48% of Yahoo leagues as we do this broadcast on Tuesday. Ty Chandler was RB4. Rashad White, RB5, who's been sensational in fantasy the last, 6 weeks? Kyren Williams, one of my guys. So my running backs alone, helping me get to the foundation final, were worth over 56 points when you combine McCaffrey with Kyren Williams. Kenneth Walker, a big night on Monday Night Football. Then Singletary, despite no touchdowns. That was the biggest game for a running back with no touchdowns because he had 170 yards of tandem offense, touched the ball 30 times. Then Mostert, he scored twice. Clyde Edwards-Helaire available in 60% of leagues, although as of Tuesday morning, we've heard Pacheco is good to go for the Chiefs this week. So if you had a wild thought on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, forget it. Then James Conner, who's been getting it done since he's come back for Arizona. McKinnon scored again for Kansas City, but that could and probably will go away with Pacheco back. Gus Edwards is back in play with the Mitchell injury in Baltimore. Gus got in the end zone, touched the ball 17 times. Joe Mixon touched the ball 13 times, scored a touchdown despite not getting a lot of yardage. Kamara touched the ball 21 times. Chuba Hubbard, 24 touches, 103 yards of tandem offense in Carolina's win. Nice job, Arthur Smith. Hope you talk about that loss at the Coach of the Year award ceremony. And Zach Moss got in the end zone, and then so that's where we are with like the top 20 running backs or so from Week 15. Have to think Tyreek Hill's going to go this week. Have to think Ja'Marr Chase is not going to go this week. And we'll get you another one of these later in the week. I know you got holiday plans, but for those of you in fantasy playoffs still alive, you're a captive audience, and I hope that by listening to this podcast, there's something that I offer you that gives you a second opinion before you finally put people into play this time of year in your fantasy leagues. And you can always email me at right.todd@yahoo.com, right.todd@yahoo.com with your individual questions. Just tell me what you're thinking. I know I emphasize this, but I don't do the I have these three, pick one. I want you to say, I have so-and-so, and I think I'm going to start them, but I also have blank and blank, and I'm wondering if this person can do this or this person can do this. And I want to know why what you're thinking and why. And then I can better sort of give you that second opinion if I know where you're coming from. So thank you for listening. Thank you for your emails. As we put a wrap on, I believe this is episode 52, the exact number that we promised you. And we're not done with the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast for 2023, presented by Hooters. Talk to you later in the week.